Psalm 61. Again, this is probably the fourth or fifth time we visited this passage. And with God's grace, for now, it will be the last. Right? Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. Thou, O God, hast heard my vow. Hast given me the heritage of those that fear thee. Thou wilt prolong the king's life in his years, his many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O, prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Our Father, we ask that. I do pray, God, that you will bless me, use me as your servant. Bind the forces of Satan that in no way I've hindered the work of the Holy Spirit of God. And make your word so clear, so true, that, Lord, what I say will not be me, but will be your words. Cleanse me of sin. Empty me of sin. Fill me with your spirit. Use thy word in Jesus' name. Let's see if we can get this on and kill this one. How about now? Good. This is a psalm of David. And the prevailing theme in this psalm is this statement. Lead me to the rock. The rock is that place of stability. It's the place of surety. It is the place of safety. Lead me to the rock. It's a place. But those of us who understand the Bible understand the rock is not only a place, the rock is a person. Amen. Lead me to Jesus, the rock. I am Christ. And upon this rock, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the solid rock? And as the psalmist cried, lead me to the rock, it was because where he was far away from stability. Whereas where he was far away from safety. Where he was far away from surety. And so when he let out this sincere cry that we spoke about several weeks, the plea for attendance, hear my cry. Why, God? Because where I am, most folks can't hear me. But Lord, attend unto my prayer. This place of aloneness is the end of the earth. I have been banished, if you would, by circumstances. So far away from civilians. So far away from civilians and so far away from the place of comfortability and the place of convenience. I'm at a place of aloneness, but I believe with all my heart, even then, you can still hear me, God. The pressure of adversity. My heart is overwhelmed. I'm weighed down. I'm heavy. I'm fainting or feeble. Atap is the Hebrew word there. I am out of steam. I've lost strength. I am depleted. And by the way, sometimes our spiritual exhaustion is aided by our physical exhaustion. Some of you missed that. Sometimes we're not much in the spirit because we're not much in our own strength. And by the way, a good way to be ready for church is to be well rested. Amen. To have your mind sharp. You say, well, God speaks in spirit. Yeah, he does. But it's hard for him to speak to your spirit when your body is asleep. Amen. And I'm simply saying there ought to be something in us that says, God, you've got to lead me to the rock. That place of aloneness, that pressure of adversity, that petition for assistance. Lead me to the rock. Listen, I don't have to ask God to lead me if I could get there on my own. You've got to understand, to get where you need to be with Christ, you need God's help. Let me say that again. You are not capable of maintaining your own spiritual walk. You're not capable of stability in your Christian life. And we look at other people and we think, oh, if I could ever be what that person is, if I could ever have what that person has, if I could ever do what they do, I'd have that Christianity they have. Listen to me. Nobody does it on his own. It is the leadership of God that leads us in that personal walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, many who used to have it that don't have it anymore stopped depending on God. They stopped depending on God. The passion for the above, the rock that's higher than I. How long are you going to settle for basic Christianity? Mediocre Christianity. Plateau Christianity. Status quo Christianity. Average Christianity. Statistic Christianity. Ho-hum Christianity. Lackadaisical Christianity. Lackluster Christianity. Apathetic Christianity. Lethargic Christianity. Inactive Christianity. Bored Christianity. No excitement Christianity. Lack of zeal Christianity. Everyday same thing Christianity. Last year, repeat this year Christianity. Never doing anything Christianity. No ministry Christianity. Pew warming Christianity. Lack of soul winning Christianity. No prayer answer Christianity. Rob God Christianity. Carnal activity Christianity. Bad talk Christianity. Complaining Christianity. Discontent Christianity. Disbelieving Christianity. Sunday morning Christianity. Wednesday night but might as well stay home Christianity. Never an excitement about God Christianity. No joy Christianity. No excitement Christianity. Always in a storm Christianity. Everybody else is fault Christianity. If you knew my problem, you'd know why I'm so depressed Christianity. Get out of that rut. You need the Holy Ghost of God to anoint your life and to lead you to a level you can't go to on your own, not based on intellect or innovation or your own desires. It is based on the leadership of God. He leads you to the rock that's higher than I. Higher than I. You know, God, I'm trying to get where I can't get. You got to take me. The solid conviction, God, thou hast been. Somebody say amen right there for what he has been. I ain't even worried about what he's going to do. I'm just getting a kick out of what he's already done. Thou hast been my help. Notice, shelter, amen. Shelter, strength, shield, yes, he's our help. You've been my hearing, amen. Five, you have heard my vows, what you heard, my prayers and my promises. You've not only been my help, my hearing, you've been my heritage. We saw that word last week. What a great Hebrew word that is. Heritage. We saw that as the word Yerusha, the word heritage. And by the way, that has the idea to occupy, to seize, to inherit. Hey, let me tell you something. God, you have been my inheritance. God, you have been my heritage. God, you have grouped me. You have sectioned me off. You have allotted me alongside of those that fear thy name. Never underestimate what you walked into the day you got saved. Hey, listen to me. This is no novelty. This is no business trying to get up off the ground. They're not giving away free samples just trying to make business. You're dealing with a God who has consistently been faithful. He has provided for his people. And when you go way back to when time first got its first time, God was there before that. In the beginning, God was and always has been. And when he says, I've had a heritage, he said, when I walked in on God and on God's people, he said, I became company with those that fear thy name. Hey, I'd rather hang around those that fear God than those that are stuck on themselves. Give me a hair. I'm in a good group. I signed up for the right team. I got a heritage. You've been my help. You've been my hearing. You've been my heritage. Look, if you would, you have been my hope. Yes, you are my hope. Amen. Let me read for you verse 6, if you would, as we look here tonight. Thou wilt prolong the king's life. You see that? Yesaf in Hebrew, to add, to increase, to further, to continue. I like the last definition, to do again. You're going to prolong my life. You know what that means? Stuff you've done for me before, you're going to do it again. Amen. Sister Simmons sang that song, he'll do it again. just like Moses, Joshua, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he'll do it again for you. Amen. Hey, you will prolong the king's life. Hey, thou art my hope. Why? Because you've been my help. You've been my hearing. You are my heritage, and you will be my hope. There's a continuance. Thou shalt prolong. Notice now, there is a covenant. Thou shalt prolong the king's life and his years, as many generations. Let's not forget that David had received the promise from Almighty God that there would be a man from that family sit on that throne for all of eternity. And listen to me, when he speaks of thou shalt prolong, he is saying that my circumstances have not shook my belief in your promises, God. Your covenant will keep somebody on this throne. It is the continuance of David's reign. It is the covenant that comes from Almighty God. And it is the fulfillment that happens in the person of Jesus Christ by saying, thou shalt prolong the king's life. David was not only referring to himself, but he said for many generations. Now notice that word. Dor, D-O-R in the Hebrew, it literally means to gyrate or move in a circle. It gives the implication of a revolution of time. Thou shalt prolong the king's life as many generations. Now you see it? Do you see the gyration happening? Gyration is not often a positive word, but in this context, it's to your benefit for some gyration to happen. All right. Amen. And by the way, and I say this in all sincerity, there are a lot of Christians whose lives, when it comes to spirituality, have ceased to gyrate. Amen. And a whole bunch of them gyrate in the flesh, dancing in foolishness. I'm talking about the gyration that God moves. I'm talking about the revolution of time. Thou shalt prolong the king's life as with many generations. You know what he's saying? God, you're going to keep this thing moving. You're going to keep this thing rolling. Amen. Hey, there's going to be some future life that will not be ceased by any opposition or obstacles. Thou shalt prolong the king's life as his years. Notice now, and his years as many generations. There will be a movement in a circle. There will be a revolution of time. You say, preacher, what is the big deal? I'll tell you the big deal. He is looking forward to one day where the Son of God will once again sit literally on the throne of Jerusalem, and he will rule and reign for 1,000 years, and then there'll be a new heaven and a new earth, and guess what? Forever and ever, thine is the kingdom and the glory and the power. Somebody say amen. And he says, my hope, the hope of the Christian, is bound up in the hope in Christ. And the reason why I'm not going down is because he's not going down. And when my deepest, darkest, dreariest, most dismal circumstances in life show up, it is not looking at how good I am that keeps me going. It's looking at how secure my Savior is. And when I stand on the solid rock of Christ, I can't go down because he's still standing. For many generations, you gyrate this cycle, and God, for years, you will prolong. In other words, God, I'm not done till you're done. You know, you better learn how to have some convictions that are based on Almighty God and not on yourself. Amen. You know, Christians have become so shady and so shifty. You know, it's almost indicative of a child of God. And when a child of God does have solid faith, we think something wrong with him. What's wrong with you? That blind faith, you believe God for that? You out your mind. No, you're out of your mind. And just because 9 people are believing something doesn't mean the one's not smart and the 9 aren't crazy. Somebody help me preach. I'm simply saying, just because the average Christian is worrying and stressing himself out doesn't mean that's how God intended us to live. And just because every once in a while you walk past one of these weird old Christian people that's in the middle of a valley and still shouting for joy, and that's in the middle of a trial and still praising Jesus, and that's broke and still on the front row lifting up the mighty name of Jesus and dropping in a tithe and figuring it out later, doesn't mean that your little dreary Christianity is the way God intended intended it to be. Yes, trials will come. Yes, persecution will come. But when you've got led to the rock, it's all that matters. I'm not bound up in my finances and my relationship and all the things of life that are fickle and so fluctuating. I'm led to Christ, the solid rock. I stand on other ground. It's sinking sand. My covenant, my Christ, my continuous solid conviction. Let me give you lastly tonight, and we get out of Psalm 61. My sincere cry, lead me to the rock. My solid conviction, lead me to the rock. And then lastly, my steady commitment. Pastor, I want to go to the rock. Well, I go to the rock, and I cross on the rock of my salvation. I go to the stone that builder, the stone that builder rejected. I run to the mountain, and the mountain stands by me, stand by me. The earth all around me is sinking sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. When I need a shelter, when I need a friend, I go to the rock. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Amen. Hey, listen. What, Pastor, I'm trying to go to the rock. And here's the categories in Crossroads. Some people don't know, even know where the rock is. We're not preaching to you tonight. You're going to have to get up to speed so you can understand our language. Then there are others who want to go to the rock, don't know how to get there. And then the third category might be the most populous one. They are those who think they're at the rock. We got some want to get there, don't know how to get there, and others think they know how to get there. And know less how to get there than those that admit they don't know how to get there. And then those who don't have a clue what I just said. That's a whole other category. I really feel like those who think they're at the rock are those who always rate themselves as a 10 in the Christian. How you doing this trip? Well, I'm doing great. Better than I've ever done. Better than I could have done myself. Sometimes I just get jealous of me. I'm so good a Christian, I get mad at myself. Me gets mad at myself, wishing me could be as good of a Christian as myself is. And then I feels left out, because where does he fit? Listen, that's the way some Christians are. I think I'm at the rock. Well, here. I'm going to give you all of those who feel like I'm feeling, you know what I'm saying, I'm feeling like I'm at the rock. I'm going to give you some tests. Here's a good way to know whether or not you've actually been led to the rock. Whether you got a bunch of commitment coming out of you. If you're at the rock and it's always what can God do for you and not what can you do for God, you're lying to yourself. If you're at the rock and there's nothing about I want to serve him, you're lying to yourself. If you're at the rock and there's never more that I can do for Jesus, then you're lying to yourself. If you're at the rock and you're doing less ministry than you were when you said you weren't at the rock, you're lying to yourself. By the way, here's another category. Some who used to be at the rock. They're running close second to those that think they are. So what's the minority in the church? Those who are at it. What do you mean, Pastor? You mean to tell me you're talking about most people in here aren't at the rock? No. Why? They wouldn't be stressed out all the time. Wouldn't be pouting all the time. Wouldn't be whining all the time. And murmuring all the time. Amen. They'd have the joy of the Lord on them. Amen. Well, this is Wednesday night. What they got to do with the joy of the Lord? Amen. Amen. I want you to bring your Sunday morning face on a Wednesday. Amen. Why? Because the same God is here. Amen. God's not interested in Sunday and Wednesday and Saturday and Thursday. He's interested in your worship. Amen. If it was a day that wasn't on the week and you woke up on it, give him some praise. I'm simply saying when you get to the rock, there's commitment that comes. Tell us, David, once God brought you to the rock, what was the first thing you decided to do? Write this down. I'm going to have a perpetual residence. A perpetual residence. First of all, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Hey, how do you know that you're at the rock? Here's how I know I'm at the rock, because I've made up my mind I'm going to stay in church. Oh, I lost some of you. Pastor, I'm at the rock. I know you didn't see me, but while I was at home, I was at the rock. No, you weren't. Amen. You may have hit the rock, but you weren't at the rock. God is looking for some people who have gotten his assistance to get to a level of stability in their Christian life that says, now that God, you got me in a position where I can stand and I'm seeing straight. First thing I want to let you know, I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. Give me 6 months, I'm going to still be in church. Give me 1 year, I'm going to still be in church. Well, you don't know what your money's going to look like. No, but my rock's going to be all right. You don't know what your health's going to look. No, but my rock's going to be all right. Hey, listen to me. When you're at the rock, you're not looking for a reason to miss. You're looking for other chances to come. Amen, Pastor. I will abide. There's a perpetual residence. I will abide. Can I define abide for you? Thank you. G-U-R. You're writing that down? Girl, it means to sojourn, to dwell for a time, to inhabit. Where are you going to sojourn? I'm going to sojourn. Watch this. I'm going to sojourn in thy tabernacle forever. By the way, the reason why I like the house of God is because that's where God's presence shows up. Amen? And why would I want to miss being somewhere where God is? I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. There is a perpetual residence, if you would. Write this down. Not only is there is a precious reliance. A perpetual residence and a precious reliance. Not only will I stay in church, watch now verse 4b, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Now, Pastor, I feel like I'm at the rock. Do you? It's a good way to know. Where do you rely? Where do you place your confidence? Oh, Pastor, I'm falling apart. You're not at the rock. I can't go on anymore. You're not at the rock. How about to give out? You're not at the rock. It's amazing. A man after God's own heart spent all these psalms telling God where he needed to get with God. And people don't have a heart like after God. Spend all their time telling everybody they're already where they're supposed to be with God. I don't understand it. Do you understand that what makes you a good Christian is admitting that you're not always a good Christian? Somebody help me preach. What makes you smart is realizing that you're not, and you lean on the only wise God. That's what makes you powerful is when you become weak and his strength is made perfect in your weakness. What makes you smile is not because your bones are built that way, but because the joy of the Lord is your strength. And as you're smiling, you begin to mount up with wings as eagles, and you're running not weary, and you're walking not faint. What gives you stamina is when the strength of the Lord and the breath of the Holy Ghost of God pushes you forward when all other logic says quit. There's a precious reliance. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Pastor. What is that covert? That covert is anything that you hide under. I'll trust in the covert. Anything that covers. When I get to the rock, I get underneath his wings and I trust he'll take care of me. I'm asking, what are you going through tonight that God's wings can't cover? What are you facing tonight that God's wings can't cover? Oh, I just feel like I'm getting hit with all these bullets. You're not under the wings. What do you expect? Do you expect to get hit? You expect not to get hit if you never take cover? Amen. Logic tells you bullets are flying. Get behind something that a bullet can't go through. And I hate to bust your bubble, but your vest won't cover your head. Amen. And just because they don't kill you in your chest don't mean they won't shoot you in your leg. Amen. And just because they don't hit you center mass don't mean they will hit you in your center head. Amen. But when you get under the wings, you're covered from head to toe. Somebody's got to learn how to abide. He that dwelleth in a secret place shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm glad that the wingspan of God is wide enough and broad enough to cover me from all my dangers and all my calamities. Sometimes in life, you need to put the phone down, turn the computer off, quit trying to email somebody, quit trying to go up to the altar and pray with five different people, and just come by yourself and hide under the shadow of the Almighty. Sometimes the best place for you to be is with God all by yourself. The covert of thy wings. I have a precious reliance. Beloved, if you would, thirdly, I have a particular request. He shall abide before God forever. Now here's my request. God, watch this now. I intend to keep serving you. Are you with me? I intend to keep serving you, God. I can't fix my problems, but my focus is bent towards my Savior. I'm not making plans for when I quit on God. I don't have a fallback plan for when Jesus isn't cool anymore. Amen. I don't have any backup churches in case I have to leave. Come on. I've not set up my dream life when I decide to quit tithing and now this is what I can spend all my money on. And when I wake up one day and say I've had enough of Fundamental Independent Baptist Church, that is not, listen, I've made up my mind. I am so committed, so fixed, firm, and established that I'm going to serve God until I die. But I've got a request for you, God. My mind is made up. I'm going to praise you anyway, even in the hard times. But here's my request. Oh, prepare mercy and truth. I'm going to do my part. But in order to go on for you, I need your mercy and your truth. Prepare for me. Prepare for me. It's like, honey, I'm going on a long trip. Can you fix me a bag? I'm leaving. The flight leaves at this time. Can you arrange my luggage so that this trip that I've already made arrangements to go on, that I've got everything in the bag to take care of me while I'm gone? Now, I'm asking you, do we have any Christians in here who have made permanent reservations to serve God? Here's the thing. God, all right, tell me everything you're going to do for me, and then I'll sign on to serving you. This is, no, not David. Watch me. I'm going to serve you forever. Period. Now, I just want to ask you something. Can you give me some mercy and truth? Mercy and truth. The preparation. You know? I need mercy. You know what that means? God, I made up my mind I'm going to serve you till I die. But I already know I'm going to mess up. So when I do, I need your mercy. Amen. And when your mercy forgives me when I mess up, your truth is what I'm going to have to return to keep from messing up again. I wish somebody would tell me that's good preaching. Even if I'm preaching it myself. Listen to me. We need mercy and truth. It is the truth of God that keeps us fixed and steady, but it is the mercy of God that compensates for our failures. And you need both of them. It is the truth of God that is uncompromising, but it is the mercy of God that is often customized for our fickle and foolishness. And I'm so glad that His truth is never compromised, but His mercy never runs out. And when I am in a false situation and I commit sin that violates His will, I'm glad that when His truth is still fixed where it's always been, His mercy comes running after me. And we sing the song, I'm running to the mercy seat. But truth be told, many times we haven't run to the mercy seat. The mercy has run after us. And I'm so glad when I was hiding out, not under His wings, but in self-pity, contemplating spiritual retirement, the mercy knocked on my door and said, hey, you, God will still use you and forgive you. And when I got over my mess and got back to His truth, I found out it ain't worth leaving again. Prepare mercy and truth. Fix meat and potatoes. Mercy and truth. Amen. My praising refrain. I'm wrapping up this text. I'll sing praise to Thy name. Pastor, I'm one of them people that think I'm at the rock. Can I give you a test? Do you have a song? I've never seen so many Christians that are dwelling on the rock don't have a song. How you doing? Good to see you at church. I'm here, but I ain't here. I scan the crowd sometimes. And by the way, we have a vibrant church, exciting church. Thank the Lord for it. We want to keep it that way. I ain't for all these exciting churches. You're in the wrong church. This is going to be exciting church. Amen. We're not going to make excitement the exception. We're going to make it the norm. Amen. That beach shouldn't fit. Amen. But nonetheless, and we all express our passion a different way. Okay? So your excitement not based on running the aisle or waving the hanky. But for heaven's sake, smile or praise the Lord or have a song to sing. You don't have to join the choir, but sing during the hymn. I have a song that Jesus gave me. I sought the Lord, and He heard me and brought me out of a horrible pit and placed my feet on a rock and established my going. Some of you used to sing. You lost your song. You said, Pastor, how did I lose my song? You lost your spot. It's hard to sing when you're not standing on the rock. Watch this now. But it's impossible not to sing when you are. Oh, I wish somebody would write that down. Put it in a fortune cookie somewhere. Listen. It's hard to sing when you're not on the rock. But it's impossible not to sing when you are. You know, it's a rude awakening for many tonight. I'm not on the rock. Well, brother, you look like you lost your song. Yeah, I know, but I'm all right. No, you're not. You're not all right. Tristan, you're not all right. When you have a song, you're not all right. You should always have a song. It's the song of the redeemed.
I sang that when I got saved. Yeah, are you still saved?
Why you stop singing it?
I have a song. I sang it the day I got saved. I've been there, done that.
Really? You might need to check your receipt. Cash question. When has the redeemed song ever gotten old? When is it ever stale to sing I'm saved? Amen. Life now is sweet and my joy is complete, for I'm saved, saved, saved. You know what the rock does? It reminds me of the joy of my salvation. Standing on Him. You can only get saved once, but you can enjoy it all the time. Praising refrain. And then lastly, my performance responsibility. I will sing praise unto thy name forever. Notice how David ends this. That I may daily, daily perform my vows. Watch this. You know what getting to the rock does? It puts me in a better position to do something for God. I'm asking you, why do you want to feel better? Why do you want to feel better? So you can walk in the mall? Why do you want to raise? So you can buy nice clothes? Why do you want a big tax return? So you can upgrade your vehicle? Why do you want a new dress? So somebody can whistle at you? Why do you want to get on the singing schedule? So you can know what it feels like to get clapped at? Why do you want another talent? So you can get one step ahead of the person that you're most envious of? Why do you want to get out that rut? Because it's getting on your nerves? Or do you want all of those blessings in your life so that when you're standing above where you were once falling, that now I can perform my vows to God? God, I want to break through financially so I can get more to missions. I want a voice so I can point other people to Jesus. I want to feel better so I can go out on visitation. I want to get married so I can do more for Christ. Here was David. God, I'm flushed out of the city, out here in the middle of nowhere. And I'm not whining because my silver spoon personality does not know how to adjust to these poverty, famished circumstances. It's not what he's saying. He's not saying, you know, I feel like I've been gypped. I'm king and I'm out here in the wilderness. You know, that ain't me. That's not what he's saying. This is where we get sometimes. We get all out of our comfort zone and this, God, I can't believe you have me here. I ain't used to being here. That's not what he was saying. He was saying, I miss going to church. I miss the temple. It's not the gold on the throne. It's getting around the people of God. All those promises I made to you, God, I can't keep them from out here in the wilderness. Will you get me back to my spot? Man, I'm having a good time in the woods. God, imagine how good of a time I'll have once you get me back to power. I'm going to perform my vows. The rock always brings out responsibility. And when we're not on the rock, it's always what God and everybody else owes me. When he leads me to the rock, it changes. Now it's what I owe God. Get me there. Get me there. I know. I just, you know, pray for me. I ain't in no position to really be doing nothing for nobody right now. I'm so bad off. Hey, can you give to this? No, but can you take one for me? You know, it's that same little, same tune. I'm never in a position to do anything for anybody else because I'm always in a position where somebody should be doing something for me. You're not on the rock. When you're on the rock, you're like the Macedonians. The broke people call you broke. But you give to your power and beyond your power because God multiplies the little that you have and makes much of it. And then he produces from nothing and gives you something. And it is not your resources. It is the grace of God. And when God's grace produces something out of nothing and then more out of a little bit, your stewardship is demonstrative in a way to God that says you can handle more because you were faithful with a little bit. But if you can't praise when you have nothing, don't expect God to produce something. And if you can't praise when you got a little bit, don't expect God to produce much. And if you've never had much, it's probably because you're flunking out with a little. God, get me back to the city, to the throne that you anointed me to sit on. Why? I got some promises that I made for you. And it breaks my heart that my circumstances have positioned me in life to the point I can't keep some of the promises. By the way, that's why I know you're going to come through. Because it was your voice that whispered in my ear what promise to make. And if you've allowed my circumstances to disable me from keeping the promise, it only means that it's for a season. You're going to fix things back up because you have to provide me with the means to keep the promise because you're the one that told me to make it in the first place. So all I'm asking you, lead me. Lead me to the rock. Father, bless you.